Coming up in 1 hour from right now, your chance to sit with us in the Sports Radio 610 suite for the Texans and the 49ers. That is 1 hour from right now. Texans 49ers begin the first of two joint practices today. John McClain will be out there, and he is joining us now, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. This is always, to me, the best time of the preseason, other than getting it over with and being able to see.
That's what my wife says about sex.
Practices. Against another team. I would have liked them better if it was Santa Clara, as it was, I think, 3 years ago, when before the game we spent about four days out there when the Texans practiced against the Niners twice. But I love it, and it's not 11-on-11 at all, like, as much as watching individual drills, especially the pass rushers against the pass blockers.
Yeah, that is a good time. John, wouldn't you say, of all the drills, that's the one that can be most realistic and at least, like, the most full speed? One-on-one pass rush, and sometimes you do, like, two-on-two pass rush. Offensive linemen will be screaming right now because they'll claim, like, no, you're never one-on-one in a game. And I'm like, yes, you are, dumbasses. They're so stupid. They think they're so smart, and they're so dumb. This is the problem with offensive linemen, John. And I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching the offensive line get trucked and not pick up blitzes and everything at practice. These are, like, such book-smart dudes, but they're the classic, like, book smart, street stupid, because they sometimes can't process things like in the split second. Where defensive linemen aren't always the brightest academically, they can feel things and see things instantly. That's why when you like stem or move your alignment right before the snap, offensive linemen fall apart completely because it happens too fast for them. Anyway, so John, what I would say is the one-on-one pass rush, yeah, you get like the actual, like, all right, this is J.J. Watt versus an offensive lineman, mano a mano, and it's really cool.
And they come off the ball, and it's intense, and it's they're heated, and it's the most physical because the linemen come off, they collide, they push. You know, they're both trying to get leverage, then they're trying to get moves. Then they work on their moves. So I'm always fascinated by that part of the joint practices because they go all out.
That's one thing about EGF4 and talking to, you know, I was actually talking to was Jelani Dawkins out there the other day because he's a former Texans offensive lineman and he's still real tight with a lot of these guys. But he was talking about just what, like, DJ Reader and some of those guys have said to him about EGF4's skill set. Like, that he's come in, like, he's got a whole repertoire of moves.
He's a natural rusher.
And he's setting guys up, you know? Like, it's more than just being a natural rusher. He's got a plan. Like, every move that he uses, he's using it to set up a move later on in the game. I think this guy, and John, I don't know if it's backed up, if the optimism is backed up by the coaches or not from when you've talked to him. I think he could have a real impact early on this year.
They were fired up about the game. You know, it was interesting watching a game on TV and not being there. Because during a game, I'm distracted. People are talking to me. I'm tweeting like crazy. But just sitting and watching.
Who's talking to you? What are these people doing?
What the hell's wrong with them?
Yeah. Everybody's talking, asking questions. Well, who was that? What happened? Did you see that?
Frauds.
Look up on the screen. And
can I get headphones, John? You need some headphones just to put them over your ears. No one will talk to you that
people,
way.
I've tried that, and people still talk. They just talk louder.
And people don't understand the separation of church and state. When you're watching a football game, you can't start just chatting with somebody like that. I hate that.
But anyway, they liked EGFour his spin move. And in fact, I believe on the three quarterback hits he had, all were based on spin moves. And he showed good power. And they'd say he's very knowledgeable about the position. And right now, they look very smart taking him, even though he was coming off a torn labrum. And what the doctors told him, he would be ready when it was time to go, and he was, and he is. And now people are really pumped to see him play against San Francisco after he practices against the 49ers.
You mentioned the spin move, and Seth, I imagine this is something that he's going to have to develop another move to complement it, because over time, if he's just doing the spin move and there's actual preparation in games, teams are going to look at them, they're saying, oh, well, that's his go-to move. It's always the spin move. And unless he's Dwight Freeney with the spin move, it's going to be pretty difficult to stop him. You look at Whitney Merciless's contract the next 2 years. Could it be possible that the Texans found a guy in the sixth round that could eventually, 2 years from now, take over where Whitney Merciless is? Or is this the same kind of player that can be in that spot that Merciless plays? Is he more of just that traditional pass
rusher? I think
he'll
play the opposite side of Merciless. He'll be on the strong side. Whitney will get an extension, I'm sure, after this year. He's got 2 years left, assuming he stays healthy and plays. And he's got a hamstring injury right now that he suffered, I think, on the last day in – in West Virginia, but they're not worried about him missing the opener. But as you know, you guys know, when you play 3-4, it is physical at linebacker. You can't have too many. You need them on the practice squad. And he has been a real find at this point.
Something you said yesterday within the loop that surprised me a little bit, although it's still pretty early. I'm surprised, John, that you said that Joe Webb is definitely not making this team.
That's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to keep quarterback three. They didn't keep him last year. I don't see him using him running down the field at 31, charging down the field like he did early in his career. But
it's not even early, though, John.
I could be wrong that they keep him, but I'll be surprised.
I mean, Joe Webb has played basically full seasons in two of the – well, he's played full seasons in two of the last 3 years. The other one, he played 14 games with Carolina. It's not like this guy played special teams 5 years ago. He's been playing special teams the last 3 years.
I guess the question becomes, okay, are you – there are other – there are other guys on special teams that, if needed to, could play quarterback poorly. Is he a good enough quarterback to actually keep around? He's not like you're going to be developing him to be your starter someday.
That's the weakness.
You would have to activate three quarterbacks, and I think they'd rather have a position player over him. If they've got a position player that can't play special teams better than him, that guy shouldn't be on the team.
And that's another day. Like, that's a game day active guy that you're keeping that's playing just to play special teams and, what, back third string quarterback on game day. You're not going to use him as your backup in place of Whedon, I think. Like, I was excited about him after the game because he was fun to watch. He was, I believe, 6 of 13 for 50-some yards.
It's hard.
It was not a good quarterbacking performance. I'll give credit to Baker Mayfield. I thought he appropriately ran the football and was safe and careful. I'll give Davis Webb for being able to run. But both of those performances were against second-string defenses. Like, running versus a vanilla second-string defense in the NFL preseason is not all that difficult to do.
Maybe it won't work out in the case of Joe Webb, but isn't it very clear the Texans twice in the last 5 years have tried to massage the third quarterback spot, and it's been a mistake both times? 2015, they decided idiotically, hey, we're going to IR Tom Savage because of an injury that's going to last like 6 to 8 weeks. You and I were on the air that week, Seth, and we were saying, this is a mistake. That turned out to be a mistake with Savage. Last year, they released Brandon Whedon. That turned out to be a mistake. They would have rather played Whedon, I'm sure, late in the season, and I'm sure it would have helped them from those Kaepernick questions that came up after Deshaun got hurt. That was a mistake.
Well, how many times? Whedon would have kept off the Kaepernick question?
A little bit.
Not happening at all, no.
It worked the year Osweiler was here. That's the only one.
That's about it. Yes, that's it.
You had me going until the Kaepernick part.
Just for, let me remove that.
One, okay, we'll remove that. Plus, I don't think they really care. Like, okay, oh, they're going to get criticized for the Kaepernick. Player owner in the league knows that.
I'll remove that point. The main crux of the point is that Whedon would have been a better option last year at some point than Savage was, and they made a mistake because they desperately care about this roster spot, and yet it hurt them both in 2015 and it hurt them in 2017.
But I'll say this. Great. They have Whedon in there. You probably don't get Reed, and Reed might end up being a good spot. I don't, for the life of me. Everybody is convinced that, yeah, Justin Reed. All of a sudden, did I not say Reed?
You did.
Oh, all right. All of a sudden everybody's convinced that their backup quarterback's going to be Nick Foles next year and lead their team to glory after the starting quarterback goes down. Man, I just flat out don't care. Give me a Brandon Whedon and I'm happy. Give me somebody that can go 500 when their starting quarterback goes down and I'm A-O good. Give me somebody that can go that can go 2-3 when he goes down.
I want a guy who can win 40% of the games.
40%. That's all I need.
30-40%. Like, as long as they're not losing every single one. And I imagine that there's got to be some element of, hey, there have been so many injuries at quarterback every single year. At some point, this can't keep happening, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Well, hopefully now.
Unless it was maybe the old school strength coach that wanted guys to do, you know, heavy squats. Ooh. And all that stuff is maybe that's part to blame. I don't know. I never blame the strength coach, but I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. You just never know from the outside looking in whose fault it is.
I think many quarterbacks go down, not just starters, but backups, and there's no correlation. They're looking, and I talked to older guys about injuries that they suffered, and they didn't have any more doing 3 hours twice a day in 9 weeks than they do today, and there's really nobody can peg why.
The biggest, I'll say this with Ryan Mallett, and this is where the closest I ever came to criticizing the strength coach was, how the hell did Ryan Mallett tear his pec in the weight room?
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the dumbest, honestly, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard happen on an NFL team is your quarterback tearing your pants. And the only where I'll give them a break in that I could totally see Ryan Mallett walking in and be like, I'm going to see if I can bench 400 today. And just completely doing it like away from the system and everything.
Is he in the league right now?
Yeah, he's. Oh, wait, no. Is he having Baltimore still?
If he is, it's been very quiet. He was with Baltimore.
I was actually thinking
currently a free agent.
Currently a free agent.
So free agent. You know who's also a free agent? I don't think anybody's picked up Derek Newton or Jeff Allen, by the way.
No, neither have. I assume Jeff. I don't know. What, I think Jeff had concussions, but I think he would be the first one to be picked up. And I have to say, I did a column with Robert Griffin III last year when the Texans were having those problems.
Yep.
And he was working out in Miami, and he just wanted an opportunity and would love to come in here, but they weren't interested in him either. Now he's in Baltimore, and he's had two good preseason games. And the idea for him was to get something on tape so when teams need quarterbacks now, they would bring him in and give him a chance at a tryout instead of just totally ignore him like they did last year. So they basically exchanged Ryan Mallett for RG3.
Would you rather have RG3 or Brandon Weeden as your backup?
Oh, well, I'm partial to Griffin, of course, but Paul talked about you want a guy to win 40% of his games. Whedon's batting 1,000.
Yeah.
You are. You're
so far, he has
1,000, right?
But that probably means based off of odds that he's going to go back to like 50%, though.
John's.
Like
hope you never see him for one play.
Yes.